Our gospel reading for today is the account of the transfiguration of our Lord. And it's in Luke's gospel as well as the other gospels as well. And in Luke's gospel, it starts in chapter 9 at verse 28. Now about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And as he was praying, the appearance of his face was altered, and his clothing became dazzling white. And behold, two men were talking with him, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and those who were with him were heavy with sleep, but when they became fully awake, they saw his glory, and the two men who stood with him. And as the men were parting from him, Peter said to Jesus, Master, it's good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah, not knowing what he said. And as he was saying these things, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were afraid, and they entered the cloud. And a voice came out of the cloud saying, This is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him. And when the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone, and they kept silent and told no one in those days anything of what they had seen. In the name of Jesus, dear sons and daughters of God, this is an amazing account. The account of our Savior's transfiguration is just awesome. God revealing to Peter and James and John, who they've been following for 3 years. How often do the disciples just miss it? How often do the disciples forget or misunderstand that they're walking around the Judean countryside with no one less than God in flesh and blood? Many times. And then Jesus says something or does something and it's poof, epiphany. Whoa, no one can do these kinds of things but God. And once again, God reveals his son, God in flesh and blood, very God, very man, one person coming to the rescue, coming to save the day. Once again, epiphany. And when they're on that mountain, there's also Elijah and Moses, and they're having a conversation. They're talking about Jesus' departure. In the Greek, it's called the Exodus, how Jesus would go to Jerusalem and with outstretched arms deliver God's family from sin and death and the power of the devil. So they talked about that. And Peter is just dumbstruck, hardly knows what to talk about, wants to build some houses. And then they hear this. This is my son. Listen to him. How often do we forget? How often do we misunderstand who and what Jesus is in our daily walk and in our lives? How often do we turn him into something he's not supposed to be or expect him to be something more than he's supposed to be, or forget and not rely on him like we're supposed to take refuge in, depending on ourselves instead? How many ways do we do the same thing the disciples did long ago? In our pride, we act like God ourselves, or in our despair, we despair of our sin and our wretchedness and think there's no help for us. How often do we do the same? But such rude epiphanies, realizing we've been playing God, realizing that we're a mess, such rude epiphanies aren't all bad. Keep in mind that realizing our brokenness is a part of God's plan for us, part of our important training so that we understand who really is at work in our lives, where we have pride and where we have despair, and who can work all things together for good. Because that's what Jesus came to do. And in our rude epiphanies where we see we've been playing God or where we've just given up, given in, that's where God lives. And that's where God can do work, transforming our lives like no one else can. What's amazing about this mountaintop experience is that Jesus would go on from this place with the confirmation of God, "You are my son, and you I'm well pleased." And he would go the way of the cross. He would take that journey. And boy, would he be transformed as he went the way of the cross. But as the wrath of God would be unleashed on him, as he would be scourged in our place, as he would be put to death in our place, our lives would be transformed, metamorphothe. Our lives would be changed. No longer objects of God's wrath and displeasure, but subjects of his love and never-ending grace and favor, no matter what kind of shape we're in. And a lot of us know this. A lot of us can look back and say, "Lord, you've done so many good things. It's amazing how you've worked all things together for good, except for maybe there's a few places where you think, I'm still waiting to see this turn out and transform into something better. But I'm trusting you, Lord. I'm going forward in faith. I'm taking refuge in you. You are my confidence and you are my boast, even if things don't make sense." It is amazing when you look at your life and you think to yourself, how could God do anything good in this or that? And yet he can. And that's our message to this world. I think our culture is in really bad shape these days. And it's up to the church to share the message that really does transform community, that really does transform lives. And it's the message of Jesus and what he's done and what he willingly went through to change lives and to fill them with grace. And that's our story. And perhaps everything is going well, or there are places where it still is a little painful. It's hard to say, "Lord, what are you doing here?" And yet it's in those very places God is at work. How does David say it in Psalm 51? "A broken and contrite heart, Lord, you will not despise." It's in those very places God is working in our hearts and minds, unearthing things, planting the seeds of his hope and his love so that we can grow forward. Perhaps some of you have heard the story about Mike Lindell, my pillow guy, addicted to cocaine, alcohol, and how his life was changed and transformed. You know, your transformation and mine is no less important to God and is no less profound. The impact that your life and my life have in God's economy, in what God wants to do in us and through us to touch the lives around us, is no less important to God than anyone else's. There are no small people in God's kingdom. And God is at work in and through us. In those places where we're still scratching our heads saying, "Lord, how can you work all things together for good here, and yet I'm going to trust in you?" God won't waste anything. He will see his way to bless your life, because he's in the business of transforming sinners into saints, people that feel battered into people that are full of boasting in the Lord, people who are walking on eggshells to people who have a courage and yet a humility to keep on telling the good news of what God has done. And that's what we celebrate. Look at your history, where God has been at work, and tell others what he has done. And where he's still at work, talk with him, how he's shaping your thoughts and your words and your actions. Because in truth, he seeks to work through you to transform other people's lives, to bless them. They may not always appreciate it. Be a blessing nonetheless. Jesus was misunderstood, and yet he kept doing his thing. And today we hear how he's encouraged by God. And of course, we know the rest of the story, what he went through, how he was transformed so that we would be, through his outstretched arms on the cross, the subjects of God's never-ending love and grace and forgiveness, so that we can go forward knowing that he's at work in us and through us to transform others. To transform others. And they're thankful, even if we don't know it. And God is at work doing his thing, transforming lives forever. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, the peace that goes beyond all that we understand, may that peace from God guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.